talk a bit about peace, because once you understand what health is, it's so easy to understand what peace is. And it's also so elegant to realize that peace is a state of mind, just as health is a state of the body. And actually, you can simply say that peace is between us what health is within us. In the same way that you could say that crime or war is between us what disease is within us. Once I had come to understand what health is, thanks to the work of Bert Verveen, I also could very easily understand what peace is. So I'd like to talk about this work of Bert Verveen with his system pathophysiology, and how that can be extended to include the system patho-social psychology, the system patho-sociology, and the system patho-ecology, because then you can see that physiology, psychology, sociology, and ecology is actually all the same principle. And once you understand that it is that principle based on cell communication, which is also the foundation of health, then you immediately have a clear understanding of the same principle in the form it operates between us as peace. In another word, you can say that peace within us is not just the equivalent of what health is within us, but peace between us also originates from mental and physical health within us. So the more we can help each other to have mental, body, mind, soul integrity within us, the more that automatically builds peace between us. So the creation of peace is simply the process of teaching each other and ourselves to care for ourselves and for each other. That's also where peace is one of the pillars of planting paradise, because it is the counterpart of integral healthcare. Integral healthcare is how you learn to work for your own integrity in body, mind, soul, and spirit. And once you can do that, you can also do that with each other, you can also do that for another, and you can also do that for the planet, all life, and everything. Before I go into that understanding of peace by the explanation which we got from Bert Verveen, there are a couple of ideas which I'd like to connect up to peace, because there's been a lot of false press and false propaganda about and around peace. For example, there are people who say we are fighting for peace. Well, as they are fighting, they are waging a war, and they are warmongers. Peace is just the excuse, and war often finds excuses. And of course, the most crippling excuse is when people say how they are fighting for peace. As you already said, the standard answer to that was make love, not war. But this idea that peace is something intangible or inaccessible is the equivalent of doctors saying that health cannot be defined. They define health as the absence of disease, or they used to do that, and likewise they try to define peace as the absence of war. As I have described in the story on war, war is simply a disease, it's a madness. There's no reason why it exists. It should be eradicated, eliminated within the people, and then it cannot exist between the people. So the idea that war is normal or natural is not so. Yes, there are examples in nature of earthquakes, and yes, there are examples of animals growling and snarling at each other, and yes, there is the example of the food chain of the one animal eating the other. But humans actually are not part of that story. They originate from that story, but they're no longer that story. It is like somebody writing letters and then learning to spell words and then actually able to make a sentence, also in the legal sense, so to say. But that's different from learning to write stories. Yes, we are based on the principle of tectonic plates collisions. Actually, we are based on the explosive powers of the sun. We are actually based on the Van Oort gas cloud, the charge discharge throughout the universe. And yeah, in essence, we are based on everything coming from nothing. But that doesn't mean it is a conflict. Tectonic plates are the recalibration of tension in the earth. There is no conflict in there. It is actually a conflict resolution. Likewise, if you look at the volcano outburst, no, it is not a sign of anger. It is simply that in the growth process of the earth, this release valve, this safety switch, which has been built in on the planet, turns on as it should. Because that's what's there for. The volcano is the singularity where the inner system can vent itself so that the earth as a whole doesn't crack or explode. It is the difference in mindset that is needed to realize that there is something else going on. Likewise, when people talk about dogs being aggressive or animals being aggressive or territorial, or that animals are eating each other, yes, there is a continuity of all life on Earth, and in fact all life forms feed on each other. At the level of the DNA, as Dawkins described in The Selfish Gene, that is a very limited story, because if you look at it in a larger perspective, you can see that the amino acids were able to form proteins, which were able to form RNA, which are able to form DNA. All of the life forms feed into each other and thereby learn from each other. The criminality or the angerness or the viciousness of animals being eaten in the food chain metaphor is a source of anxiety for people who have not yet discovered that their body already lives 5 billion years and that their mind is the connector between the body and the soul, and that the soul actually is having an incarnation here. People will need to start to learn to dream so that they can learn to lucid dream, so that they can learn to astrally project, so that they can learn to mentally project, so that they can discover that their body and soul are two different entities which are interconnected and work together in having an experience of life on Earth, but that the life that you live is actually not dependent on your body and the death of the body, but the soul and the life of the soul. So there is a lot of propaganda that war and destruction is the norm on Earth, and that war actually is necessary, but that's not the case. One of the strange paradoxes of the idea that war is necessary comes from this notion of the Institute for the Endowment of Peace. Actually, it's the Carnegie Institute for the Endowment of Peace, which did a many year study. How can you best resolve the problem of war? And then they decided to conclude, evidently the banksters with their military industry got hold of the process, they came to conclude that war is the best way to assure peace. So the warmongers actually got their handle on the peace process, and the warmongers are of course the ones who profit or profiteer of war. If you look at war and peace, I already described war and the madness of war and the cure for war, which lies within us. Then this whole relationship between war and peace is nonsensical. just as disease is the consequence of a disturbance in health, likewise, war is the consequence of a disturbance of mental health in the culture, in the society, in the government, in the individual, at all of those levels. So once I realized that in the formulation of peace we had the same difficulty as doctors had in this nonsensical description of the formulation of disease, then I could find the solution. Had doctors learned to identify all kind of diseases, lots of diseases, doctors give their name to diseases, and the result is only that there is this notion that there are lots of diseases, and basically you have to fight this war against disease. This is where you find the coupling between the warmonger mentality and the disease profiteer mentality. You need to actually step outside of that and realize that disease is not a disease. Disease is just a symptom. And once you understand that disease is a symptom, you can look at which is the physiological process which is in disarray. What caused the disarray of that process? Which other processes are having a problem as a result of which this disarray came to be? And then at the deepest level, what caused these processes to no longer function in integrity? And you always find that there is something at the level of the spirit, that the realization of reality was no longer balanced, as a result of which the system regulation with the neuronal and the hormonal regulation got askew. As a result of that, the physiology could no longer function. And then, yes, finally, you will find that there is something that is different in the way the body is seen. So you need to go back from the body anatomy to the physiology, to the regulatory system, to the consciousness level. And then you can find that every disease comes out of a disturbance of the relationship of the identity of the integrity of the identity of the individual in humanity, or in reality, or in the cosmos. Basically, you could use the old formulation that it is a loss of the connectedness of you and God. And now we can replace God by the universe, and we can replace it by the tetrionic quantum theory. We can now know that there is a universal process that we are part of. It is not a God image in the kind of anthropomorphic entity or identity, but it is the relationship between the universe and you. And if that relationship is no longer coherent, there is no longer integrity in that integration, then the relationship between you and the universe will be afflicted. The way you connect to the universe will no longer function. Acupuncturists know that. They check the connection points and they reset the connection points so that you can restore that connection. If you don't do that, then the processes in the body are no longer connected to the processes outside of the body. So the internal processes will become in disarray no matter what goes on in the processes around you. Ayurvedic medicine realized that and found techniques to reconnect the internal and external processes by accentuating some of the processes, reinforcing some of the processes, suppressing some, so that the external and internal process can again form the Möbius loop that it is in essence always working as. If the processes are in disarray, then of course the cells cannot create, project, produce, print out the body as they normally would do. And yes, you can find symptoms in the body. Yeah, good for you. You can give them a name. Good for you. But that's not where it happens. So let me now switch to the work of Bert Verveen, because that is not just the basis of the understanding of health, but also the basis of understanding of peace. Bert Verveen, physiologist, looked at the processes in the body, and not just that, but he understood the principle of system theory, which meant that he understood that the state results from a process which results from a transformation which is always based on the integrity of integration. By looking at the body in this manner, he realized that at the fundamental level of the body, you can simply reduce it to the process of one cell having just divided. After the first cell has divided, the internal process of the first cell has been turned inside out as the feed forward and the feedback loop between the next two cells. And that system of two cells has that feed forward and that feedback system. System theory describes how that works. And Bert Vervain came to conclude that health is based on the feed forward and the feedback closer between those two cells. He didn't describe it like that. He simply formulated it as disease is caused by the loss of closure between the feed forward and the feedback loop. And as he defined it, there's two forms of disease, the disease of overshoot and the disease of undershoot. He called it the disease of excess and the disease of deficit. Because in the body you can see that the organs produce hormones, and when there are too many of the hormones, the body will explode or dissolve or lose its form in one way or the other. And if there's too little of those hormones, the body will condense or implode or fossilize on itself in that sense. So as you would say it in Chinese medicine, you have the disease of inflammation and you have the disease of sclerosis. In alchemy, they call that dissoluo or coagulo, the dissolution or the coagulation. And that's exactly what has been described by Hans Ley when he described the inflammatory and the anti-inflammatory process in the body. So that shift of inflammatory and anti-inflammatory is the relationship between the overshoot and the undershoot of the feed-forward feedback closure. Once you understand that, it is simple. Health is simply the connectedness, the continuity of the feed-forward and the feedback closure between the cells, between the organs, between the bodies, in a changing environment. So, yes, you will need a couple of the principles of autopoiesis, as defined by Umberto Maturana, which simply means that the feed-forward and the feedback closure is actually maintained by the cells. And you can see that when you compare the description of Bert Vervain with that of Hans Ley. Bert Vervain described the feed-forward and the feedback between the cells. Hans Ley described the difference of increase output or decrease output within the cells, but those are just two parts of the same story, which means that we have a very explicit definition of health. Simple, pronto. It's done. Health is the feed-forward feedback closure between the cells. That's it. Disease is when that gets disturbed, and of course, different cell, different disease, different organ, different disease. But the principle is still the same. And if there is a disturbance in an organ, it will be because there is a disturbance between the cells. If there is a disturbance between in an organ group, there will be a disturbance within the other organ, because these feedback forward and feedback loops, they're not just between the first and the first two cells that emerged out of the zygote, because they divided and divided again and again and again, and every cell pair that came out of them have a feed forward and feedback closure. So there's lots of loops and loops within loops and loops within loops within loops. That's exactly what I described in this project called Mathemusics, that all of these loops need to connect and be symphonic, be in harmony. That is where the health goes from the first two cells to all of the cells that come after. And yes, it is complex, but that it is simple because it is very logical. The cell divides and the cell divides again, the cell divides again, the cell divides again. One cell becomes a pair of cells, like a Cooper pair in physics, they're connected. What happens in the one is a complement of what happens in the other. They mutually stabilize each other, the autopoietic principle. And from the first cell to all of the billions of cells that you have in your body, they're all interconnected by the feed-forward and feedback loop. Health is the coherence, the continued coherence of the feed-forward and feedback loop closure in a changing environment. That's it. Now let's bring that to the next level. Bert Vervain described that for physiology. But once you realize that physiology is the cell communication with the feed-forward and the feedback loop, then you can see that the cell communication takes place at the level of molecules, their chemistry, their electromagnetic interaction, and their photonic effects. Which means that cell communication is physical, chemical, electromagnetic, and photonic. Cells communicate using physics, using chemistry, using electromagnetism, and using light. And actually, the light field is the most important because that is the fastest. That is where the consciousness operates. So that is where you can see that the cell communication, not just the physiology, but also the psychology. The light field, which is our level of consciousness, then can regulate the slower electromagnetic exchange process, which is the process of the body system regulation, which is the neural and hormonal level, the regulatory system in the body, which is also the immune system of the body, and all the many immune system diseases which we have now are due to the disturbance of that level, because the photonic level, the level of consciousness, is in disarray. So the consciousness level needs to be in order, then the regulatory system can be in order, the neurons and hormones function well. As a result of that, the physiology will work well. That's the process level of the cell. And then the cell can produce the molecules by which the cells then form the body. So that level, which is where we then see that the physiology described by Bert Vervain as the system physiology can be generalized to be the integral system physiology, because it does address consciousness, regulatory system, physiology, and anatomy. All of them in the same story, all of them in the same equation of the feed-forward feedback balance of the first pair of cells and every pair of cells in the body. So with that understanding, that you can see that the physiology is also the psychology, because the information actually guides the operation. And as physiology and psychology are connected within the body, then you can also see that the relationship between the cells within our body determine everything that happens between our bodies. The relationships that we have amongst us are defined by and based on what happens within us. You interact with others based on what you act and interact and interact within you. So that means that the physiology and the psychology have the counterpart in sociology with relationship to all other people, but also the ecology in the interaction with Earth. So in the same way as that physiology of Bert Vervain has the proteins, the enzymes, the hormones, and the pigments, because they work at the molecular, the chemical, the electromagnetic, and the photonic level, then likewise we see that internally we have the physics, the chemistry, the electromagnetic, and the consciousness levels. But in the outside world we see that too. So the anatomy, the physiology, the regulatory and information integration systems are one set as defined and described by this simple definition of Bert Vervain of the feed-forward and the feedback loops between the cells. By that, we understand the health in mind and in body, because the psychology and the physiology are totally integrated. They play off each other, they interact with each other like a river and a bedding. And this goes at all levels. But likewise, between us, in the sociology and the ecology, we see that as humanity, we too are an organism, and we interact with each other as humanity, and we interact with our environment as Earth. But so all of these things can be described by that same feed-forward feedback cycle as described in system theory and as made explicit by Bert van Veen. We know that the stability of that feed-forward and feedback loop within our body is the foundation of health, which means that it is also the foundation of peace. Peace is simply exactly the same principle. What we know as health in the interaction between people, between cells, we know as the interaction between people. You see, I already skipped the beat. I was already at the next level. Because what happens between people is exactly the same as what happens within cells. The feed-forward and the feedback loop between cells is the basis of the feed-forward and the feedback loop which you have in relationship with other people. When you have a relationship between others, it is not a line that connects you, it's an equation sign, it's two lines connecting you. There's the feedback loop and the feedback loop. And they are not a pole and a chain like they have in the pirate ships of the past. The pole to push them away, the chain to hook them together. That is not what a relationship is about. Basically, that is a sinking ship or a pirate ship. In a relationship, you need the dynamic of the feed forward and the feedback. You need to have your autonomy, your independence. You give out to the other. They give out to you and to the environment. You give out to you, to the other and the environment. So you always give to the environment and to the other. And that stabilizes your relationship with the other in that environment. If you do not give out to the other and the environment, you will lose contact with the environment, you will pollute it, you will destroy it, and so on. That's what we are living now. Once you understand how this principle works, then you start with experiencing peace within you, which is that principle of health working in the body and in the mind. And that's where you will then experience within you that the physiology is the psychology. That state of experience is called meditation. So in meditation, you will notice that the physiology and the psychology are connected. You can feel what you think, and you can think what you feel. As a result of which, you can restore that balance. So that you discover that the health within you is also the peace within you. Once you know that within you, you can also do that in the relationships. If you each know how to meditate, then you can experience the interaction with the other as a state of meditation. If not, you need to meditate within yourself to find what's going on. How is that other complementary or reversing something that you would do in yourself? And why are you not able to complement, see that complementarity or operate on that reversal? It might be that there is something in you that is dysfunctional. It might be that there is something in the other that's dysfunctional, though, so they are actually in a state of disease or a state of disarray. And I described that in the story of war, that war very often is due to disturbance in that feed-forward and that feedback loop. And as Oriental medicine shows, it can be that that feed-forward feedback loop goes unstable, lacks closure, as Bert van Veen described, or it can actually reverse direction. And when that reverses direction, people will do the opposite of what would normally be done in that environment. And in effect, they can't help it because they believe that they are in a different environment. There's something in their internal calibration between world image and self image which has flipped sides, as a result of which they're thinking the opposite of what is actually going on. Yes, it is a form of madness. But once you realize that, you can see that essentially they're in a state of disease, and you can possibly help them get out of that state of disease, because people who are in a state of disease, internally, their body and mind will try to get out of that. Their soul will try to resolve that. It's just that there is a kind of internal lock, an internal region, internal landscape, an internal reality which has been created separate from the world around us, which is where they believe they are. So the reality that they live within them is not the reality that their body lives in. It's not the reality that their mind lives within, but a part of their mind does, and a part of their body does. And that's the part of the body where disease will emerge, and that's the part of the mind where they will, say, operate in madness. We all have that, because that's a standard aspect of learning from falling and getting up again, and being hurt and healing again. So we all know that process, so we all can help each other to resolve that process. And the art of resolution of that conflict is the principle of healing and the principle of bringing peace. A long time ago, I realized that there are solutions for many problems on Earth, and in my mind I had the image of a, let's call it a peace ship. And I actually a long time ago wrote a text called the Peace Corps. And operating like an army, and the Peace Corps, which you have sort of, is a bit in that direction, but you can go much further than that. So what I was conceiving at that time is the principle of, say, a band of healers bringing peace on the planet. And in my mind I created kind of shortcut idea of that, a boat which was called Uteris. And that's a word game, because uterus of course is the womb in which you can be born to enter into the world. But in this case the word is spelled as Uteris, which is the Latin word for that, ut, eris, you can be. So uteris is so that you can be. So the name of the ship is the purpose of the ship. And let me just describe the idea that I have of that ship. People know that the ship Uteris is in the harbor. So from the far inlands they come to the harbor. And essentially everybody who thinks that this is a weird planet, everybody who knows that there is something very wrong with the planet, everybody who's aware that war and disease is totally unnecessary, that poverty is totally unnecessary, can come to the ship. Anybody who is suicidal can come to the ship and board the ship. They're welcome. They can find themselves a bed, a bunk, and then they can they are boarded on the ship. And then the ship leaves the quay. At the moment that the ship is in the middle of the harbor, the captain takes the loudspeaker and says, well, welcome aboard of the ship. Anybody who is suicidal and wants to leave the ship can do that now. Just jump overboard, you can swim to the harbor and they'll pick you out of the water over there. When we're on the waters, we will not stop for anybody. Essentially, it is a respect that if you don't want to live that life, you're free to live your life your way. And if you want to swim the oceans, you can do so. That being said, the ship then leaves the harbor, and immediately everybody is invited to a series of programs. There's programs on healing. Healing techniques, healing of the body, healing of the mind, healing of the soul, healing of the spirit. Everybody takes the compulsory courses, let's say compulsory, everybody's invited to do so. And they are very compact, essential courses in the fundamental understanding of what it is, how it works, why it works, and how you can work with it. likewise, people are given trainings in agriculture, how to understand the microbes in the land, which plants can go with them, which animals can go with them, which clans can live in that landscape, the art of irrigation, which includes the sewage systems in the villages, or the protection against flooding of rivers, or the elimination of habitation in the flood banks of the rivers. Likewise, there are trainings in cultural perspectives, storytelling, singing, translation, multiple language abilities, and also sign languages. So that the deaf and the blind can also be understood. And there is a level of spiritual healing, spiritual integration, and those are techniques of meditation, lucid dreaming, remote healing, astral travel, and so on. So essentially, everybody who is on board has a very intense schedule of trainings, as a result of which they can go to any culture, speak their language, help them build sewage system in their villages, help them educate each others to be healers, help them build permaculture gardens and create a wonderful landscape. And by song and stories, help people understand themselves and each other, and understand how we all complement each other. So that ship then goes out and goes to different countries, and essentially it goes to areas of conflict and areas of poverty, areas of disease and areas of abandonment, where governments just choose to ignore that there are people there and choose to provide help that might be possible. Everybody then has the choice to go there, and in a way they will have an international passport, they will be ambassadors to the Planting Paradise project, so they are free to land there and they will be respected for being there. And then with the people they are there, they share what they have learned. They teach others in all these 16 disciplines which I just mentioned, and there are many more aspects of those. So that the people, where they go, can build the sewage system so that they will no longer have the diseases, can do the permaculture so they will no longer have poverty and food, can have their songs and stories so that they can live in peace and understanding, and in other ways can come to understand themselves in a much richer and a much more appropriate perspective, that they realize that life is not dependent on the richness of the environment or the richness of the land, and certainly not on the riches of the people, but that's on the riches within you. So that is for me the translation that I made in my quest to make peace tangible. And that story of the ship Uteres, I wrote 20 or 30 years ago, had the Peace Corps story was around that time, maybe a bit earlier, and it's only since that time that I came to understand that peace is actually an experience, a feeling, which lives within you, and once it is within you, it will operate as contagious health. So peace will come in humanity when people find peace within themselves. And essentially it all comes down to a simple choice. If you are in an environment and it upsets you, then are you going to let it upset you, or are you going to turn within, in the kingdom within, and find the peace within you? Are you able to see that whatever upset you simply triggered something in you? It probably triggered a reflex of something in you, probably was a reflex of something which you no longer want to work with, or which never worked for you. So why not find the inner peace by looking using that trigger to find the feeling within you to access the trauma or the memory that you stored, which you can now resolve so that you're back in peace. And then the more you do that, the more you will find peace around you, because the more of these triggers you got, the more of them you have resolved, and the less can trigger you. So when you do that with other people around you, when you do that with your friends, when you do that in your workspace, before you start to work, you meditate. At the moment that there is time for eating, it is a time for contemplation as well, for internal realization, for reconnecting through the food with the land, for reconnecting through the water to the oceans. That your local experience is no longer local. Lunch can be the time that you reconnect to the earth and all that it gives. The social environment can be where you appreciate and relish that other people are different and that we can all learn from each other. And it is very simple to realize that in the feed-forward feedback loops between cells, the one cell doesn't tell the other cell what to do. The one cell tells the other cells what it is doing. And as soon as people start to do that as well, again, it's the David Bohm dialogue group format of conversation. You say what you want to say, but you don't react to what others say, because why does your opinion matter? They already told you what they think. But out of the sharing of those ideas, new ideas can form. Out of your meeting other people, new aspects of you can be opened up. The more people you meet, the more different people you meet, the more opposite people you meet, the more you discover of yourself, the more discover yourself. So peace is that process of learning to get to know your body, learning to get to know your mind, discovering your soul, having that experience also with other souls, other people, other animals, with the earth. And as a result, you get that fuller integration. Evidently, that means that you will create environments where dictatorships, the father-baby kind of scenario, is not the ruling scenario. Oligarchies, parent with children scenario, you've outgrown that too. Democracy with adolescents bickering with adolescents, that's not the scenario too, because majority-minority is not the story either. So you come to the level where you appreciate everybody for what they are, and just like the cell expresses what it is doing, you express what you're doing, and in the environment this can spread out as contagious health. People learn from each other by seeing what they do, by knowing what they do, and then your internal peace will also be your internal health. And that is also the foundation for the external peace and the external health. The peace between us comes from the contagious health out of the peace within you.